Welcome to Ghost Biz here on the Business Report. I'm Gary Strubel, and I'm joined by the Finance Ghost, bringing us up to date with what's going on in the world of the markets here in Southern Africa. Thank you, by the way, for making us Namibia's number one business podcast. Remember, you can get this episode and all of our previous episodes, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, and also go to nova.com.na. You can download and listen to content there as well. Right, guys, welcome back to the show. Let's start out with a fascinating story that's taken a couple of years to play out now. Canal Plus is taking control of MultiChoice. We saw a few executive shuffles earlier this week, and it looks like the French giant is now firmly in control. How do you see the situation?
Hello, Gary, from Cape Town, where the weather has not gotten the hint this week that it's a public holiday week and that people want to braai. So I'm not sure what the weather's doing up there, but hopefully it's a lot better than it is down here. On the topic of MultiChoice and Canal Plus, yes, quite right. So they've gotten to the point where the deal is unconditional, and Canal Plus has now gotten their hands on almost outright control of MultiChoice. It's actually quite interesting. They're at just below the 50% mark, but practically that means control, because you'll basically never have a world in which every single shareholder arrives for a meeting and votes against the shareholder who has like 48 or 49%. So in reality, at any kind of meeting, they would always have control. But I don't even think that distinction is going to matter for much longer, because I would imagine that more shareholders in MultiChoice will sell their shares across to Canal Plus. So we'll see exactly how that plays out. What it really means, though, is it now gives the combined group a subscriber base of 40 million people across almost 70 countries. So that is a pretty serious scale player, certainly nowhere near as big as the likes of Netflix, but a meaningful player, and perhaps scale will make the economics work, because MultiChoice was just not getting there in terms of rolling out their streaming business, etc. They were incurring some pretty heavy losses. They were shedding subscribers in South Africa. It was honestly looking pretty dire for MultiChoice. So I think this is a lifeline for the business. To be honest, I think it's a lifeline for the entire local film industry in South Africa. So just, you know, wearing my South African hat, a very good deal for the country, in my opinion. And I'm extremely glad that the regulators didn't do any crazy things to scupper it, because sometimes that does happen. Canal Plus jumped through hoops to get this deal right. They had to restructure the whole South African business. They obviously had to take into account BEE. They had to agree to a whole lot of conditions. So they really want this asset. And hopefully as consumers, we are the ultimate winners of this. I really hope that we get better stuff at more competitive prices, and that we just see this thing go from strength to strength.
Yeah, we're going to watch this one play out, I think, some more. There's certainly some interesting changes ahead for the future of television in Africa. Let's move our attention now to another player in a similar field in the ICT sector, but this time it's Blue Label, who've announced that they will be separately listing Cell C, which has been a perennial problem, the third network provider in South Africa. And Blue Label themselves have had a couple of interesting journeys over the last few years. Tell us more what's going on in that space.
Blue Label has got to be one of the most interesting stories on the JSE at the moment. There are very few companies that will divide opinion quite like Blue Label. And of course, that's because of the underlying Cell C business. Cell C has been around for a long time, but it's only recently actually gotten to the point where it's making money now, where it has figured out a business model that works. When the thing originally launched to fight against the likes of MTN and Vodacom, I mean, it was just one disaster after the next. There just wasn't really space for a third player like that. They just didn't get it right. And these days, Cell C has focused on the MVNO opportunity. That's a mobile virtual network operator. And essentially what that means is that Cell C is the backbone technology for the likes of Capitec when they sell airtime, retailers. So basically you have a situation where you have a business that has a huge retail distribution footprint of some kind, selling something, whether it's banking products or bread and milk or clothes, you know, take your pick. And therefore they have customers in the store, they have people at the tills, they are able to offer specials, they are able to offer convenience, they are able to do all of these things as part of their broader credit offering, etc., It's just one of those typical consumer behavior things where cross-selling becomes possible. And Cell C effectively powers this for retailers, for banks, etc. It's a good model. It's clearly a profitable model. It's nice and CapEx light. But the reason it divides opinion is because a lot of people who are bearish on this asset are honestly just asking the question of whether it's all too good to be true. Because the CapEx light, lovely economics inevitably leads to one thing, right? And that is more competition, more market entrance, disruption, etc. It's very hard for a business to earn wonderful economic profits forever. So it feels like Blue Label is now doing the separate listing of Cell C when things are really good. They can tell an incredibly lucrative story, etc., etc. And that's how markets work. That's exactly when you must list an asset, is when the going is good. It does not make sense to go and list an asset when things are not going well. So obviously the bulls and growth investors are extrapolating the story, and they say that Blue Label is still undervalued, even though it's run so hard in recent times. And the bears are saying, well, how can it carry on like this forever? Someone is right. We just don't know who yet. I personally don't have a position here because I tend a little bit more towards the maybe it's too good to be true. But more than that, Blue Label has just always been in my too hard bucket because the financials are really hard to unravel. The people who have gone into long positions in Blue Label and done well have, generally speaking, been investors who run quite concentrated portfolios. So it pays them to do the really hard work, to dig all the way down into the financials and figure it out, and then take a concentrated position. It's not my style. I'm very much a diversification kind of investor. I like to have a lot of smaller positions spread across all kinds of sectors. And I like to hope that on average, I pick stocks that do better than the index. I mean, that's what all investors hope for, obviously. But the highly concentrated investors will look at something like Blue Label and say, okay, here's the answer. So we'll see what happens here. I hope for those who have big positions that this does carry on doing so well. I just find it hard to believe that at some point we're not going to see competition come in and someone try and eat Cell C's lunch or disintermediation or just something. It just feels like they managed to be this perfect little business model in the middle of everything else. Like, how long can that really last?
Let's shift our attention now to retail. We typically wind up talking about Pick and Pay and ShopRite Checkers in this space, but let's turn our attention now to Choppies, who have actually announced some pretty good numbers. Choppies operate quite a big network here in Namibia as well. So give us a sense of what sort of wins are Choppies experiencing at the moment.
Choppies is interesting because it's a Botswana-focused retailer, not just Botswana, but primarily Botswana. And of course, everyone is talking about the impact of lab-grown diamonds and the huge disruption for natural diamonds, or mined diamonds, as they're also called, and what that means for the economy in Botswana. I mean, you need look no further than what has happened to De Beers and how that would impact tax revenue, etc., in Botswana. So lots of concerns there, but for now at least, Choppies seems to be doing well. For the year ended June, revenue from continuing operations was up 14.6%, which is solid. Unfortunately, their expenses kind of dragged them into the red from a HEPS perspective. So HEPS from continuing operations down by 2.1%. So obviously that's not fantastic, but at least it's not a top line problem. It's not that they've run out of revenue at this stage, and they are quite a lot of just noisy line items in those expenses. There's impairments, etc. So, you know, that doesn't affect HEPS, of course, but there's stuff in there that is just making it a bit more difficult to really understand what they're doing. To try and give a more maintainable view of earnings, they've reported adjusted EBIT. So that's earnings before interest and tax. So essentially operating profit after depreciation of around 12.2%. So look, at the end of the day, I think the business is on the up. Free cash flow is up 5.8%, so that's a nice metric to look at. But most importantly, their Botswana business is not falling over. And I think that was the risk that everyone has been talking about, not just for Choppies, but for other companies in the space as well. CA Sales Holdings has experienced quite a slowdown in their business in Botswana. So that's something to also just keep an eye on. Choppies makes about 80% of its EBITDA in Botswana. So they need that economy to work.
And then lastly, guys, let's take a look at a story we followed over the last year or so. And that's the very interesting company Renogen, who are now undergoing a merger of their own. But it seems that a long-standing saga with a solar company has come to some sort of conclusion. Does that help their case?
So Renergen is in the process at the moment of merging with ASP Isotopes. It's almost a Canal Plus multi-choice situation in some respects, in that I think this has somewhat thrown a lifeline to the story. Renergen was getting themselves into quite serious trouble. They had missed a lot of milestones. The market had lost plenty of belief in the story. And ASP Isotopes, a shrewd group of deal makers and now separately listed on the JSE as well, they have a very interesting, as the name suggests, isotopes business, super high-tech stuff in South Africa. Like, a huge number of their staff are PhDs. It's very interesting. Hardcore science, Iron Man type stuff. But they've looked at Renergen and thought, well, there's a great opportunity to go in and actually buy a really interesting asset that obviously just needs money and, frankly, more hardcore management, perhaps, or just, you know, getting tighter on hitting deadlines, et cetera, et cetera. We'll see how it goes, of course, but that is what's going to happen. Is Renergen is merging with ASP Isotopes. That deal is in progress. They're just getting through all the various conditions, et cetera. The latest news out of Renergen is that they've settled with Springbok Power, or Springbok Solar Power, rather. And this was a really just ridiculous situation, basically, where you had a solar developer who, and look, I'm not close to the details on the legal stuff, but essentially proper process was not followed around the rights that Renergen had over the area versus, you know, these guys coming in and then building out the solar business, etc. So it led to this whole legal fight, which of course was the very last thing that Renergen needed to distract themselves with or spend legal fees on. They've gotten to a point now where they have actually settled and they've done some kind of coexistence arrangement. And as part of the announcement, Springbok Solar had to acknowledge their lack of consultation under Section 3 of the MPRDA. So basically, they made sure that Springbok Solar said, yes, okay, you know, we did something wrong, but now we'll settle. So probably a win for Springbok Solar, to be honest. I feel like it's the classic, you know, ask for forgiveness rather than permission situation. Whatever the case is, it's taken an overhand off from the Renergen share price, I suppose. Not that it matters now because they're under offer. So more an overhand from the business, actually. And it seems as though this coexistence agreement is not going to hurt Renergen. It just gets one of these troubles out of the way. So just a bit of weird corporate stuff, I suppose. Separately, Renergen released a trading statement that their headline loss per share has worsened by at least 20%. No surprise there. They've obviously had all the costs of the ASP Isotopes deal to get through. They've had all of these legal things. No shock there whatsoever. I think for everyone involved, it's just good news to bring this kind of stuff to a close.
All right, guys. Thank you, as always, for your thoughts and insights. Remember, you can go and download this wherever you get your podcasts. And you can also get along to ghostmail.co.za. Go check out the various very excellent newsletters that are produced on a daily basis by one of Africa's leading analysts and what's going on in a way that you can understand it. And more importantly, so can I. Join us next week for more Ghost Biz here on The Business Report.